जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र शत शिष्य इस डिवाइन ग्रेस से भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 टॉक्स बिटवीन नारद एंड किंग प्राचीन बर्हि टेक्स्ट 41 एतय रूपद्रुतो नित्यम जीवलोक स्वभावजये न करोति हरेर्नूनम् कथामृत निदौरतिम् एते रूपद्रुतो नित्यम् जीवलोक स्वभावजये न करोति हरेर्नूनम् कथामृत निदौरतिम्
Thank you.
Ladies, please. Excellent. Etae, by these, upadruta, disturbed, nityam, always, jivaloka, the conditioned soul in the material world, swabhavajay, natural, karna karoti, does not do, harehe, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nunam, certainly. Katha, of the words. Amrita, of nectar. Nidhau, in the ocean. Ratim, attachment. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Because the conditioned soul is always disturbed by the bodily necessities such as hunger and thirst, he has very little time to cultivate attachment to hearing the nectarian words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Unless one is associated with devotees, he cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. Nirjana bhajana, cultivating Krishna consciousness in a solitary place, is not possible for the neophyte, for he will be disturbed by the bodily necessities, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Being so disturbed, one cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. We therefore see that devotees known as sahajiya, who make everything very easy, do not associate with advanced devotees. Such persons, in the name of devotional activities, are addicted to all kinds of sinful acts, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat-eating. There are many so-called devotees passing themselves off as devotees while engaging in these sinful activities. In other words, one who is influenced by sinful activity cannot be accepted as a person in Krishna consciousness. A person addicted to sinful life cannot develop Krishna consciousness as indicated in this verse. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakhaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripasindhubya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Today is actually Jai Jagannath Prabhu's turn, so I'm not even mentally prepared to give Bhagavatam class. So I seek your blessings, that by your blessings and prayers, maybe some words of meaning might come out. So if anything comes out that is meaningful, it's all your glory and glory of Srila Prabhupada. And to make things worse, I've been missing the whole week of what the discussion was. I don't even know the thread of the conversations. Just a little digress. The Pandavas were so expert at warfare that Arjuna didn't have to see his target to shoot. Even just hearing the sound of the enemy's bow or some sound the enemy would make in a place that he couldn't see, he was able to shoot perfectly on target. And completely opposite to that, on the contrary, is someone like me shooting in the dark. So we'll have to please be patient with me as I try to shoot in the dark here. So the message of the verse is very simple. The message says, the conditioned soul is always pulled against his natural proclivity to be a devotee or servant of God. It's natural for us, meaning that's who we are. However, we have an artificial nature, like we have artificial intelligence. We have an artificial nature that has conditioned us to think that we have a different natural tendency or proclivity. Only Siddharth laughed at the artificial intelligence joke. No one else did, because we sort of think it's natural. In this material world, all intelligence is artificial. That was the joke, but anyway. I have to say joke, laugh, and I have to do all the cues this morning. I'll tell you, Monday morning Bhagavatam classes are the most difficult ones. Because the audience had a fantastic Sunday night, and anything in comparison to that really doesn't match. And it's also the sluggish morning. So, and Pastor John adds to the whole... you know the Pastor John joke? Okay, I'll tell you Pastor John joke. See, you have to keep Monday class alive. So, in the church, there was a message on its message board that said about something about their congregation member who was not well, and said, Amy is in the hospital and she is in a lot of pain, and she is very grateful to all the other church members for their best wishes. However, she is unable to fall asleep at night, and so she has requested for recordings of Pastor John's sermons. I'm sure it was meant to say in a nice way, but so I consider myself Pastor John. So, we have a natural, who we are is that we are naturally attracted to God. But in the conditioned state, we are naturally attracted to matter. So the word natural, in this case, swabhavajay, means when we are born in this world with a material body, we have a nature. Some people are so-called intelligent, some people are hardworking, some people are administrators, like that. Swabhava. Because we have a particular body, we have a particular nature. But that's not who we really are. The soul is eternal, fully cognizant, and ever blissful. But on top of that real nature is slapped on an artificial nature. And we think with that artificial nature, I'm a carpenter, I'm a professor, I'm a man, I'm American, I'm very intelligent, I'm hardworking, I'm stunningly good-looking, or whatever, different ideas. And we operate in this world according to those conceptions. And those conceptions are indicated, there are symptoms for it, called hunger, thirst, the tendency to fall asleep, regardless of Pastor John, and mating. So eating, sleeping, mating, defending. This is the activities within this world. And our Vedas describe that one who simply follows that kind of lifestyle, that is nothing but pursuant of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, whether done in a very gross manner or done in a very sophisticated manner, So a gross manner of eating, sleeping, mating and defending would be like the animals would do it. And a very sophisticated manner is like the gentleman would do it. It's the same thing. The sophistication is, oh, I like to do it like this, you know, in style or in whatever, but it's the same thing. And everything that a person does in this life is to fulfill these four propensities. Somehow to eat well, sleep well, mate well, and defend well. How do we defend well, for example? We have nice houses, nice locking systems. Instead of a bolt and a lock, you know, we have electronic locks, etc. Or we have solid houses, not trailer homes or huts. Nice house, nice security system, a guard at the door, key, you know, what's that entry that is gated entry, etc. These are all ways in which we defend. The mating, eating, and sleeping. And the Vedas describe that if one doesn't use the human life to do something other than this, then one is a sophisticated animal. And the outcome of such life is either an animal body or some degraded life form, that these activities can be continued without the pressure of job, society, higher thinking. These are not necessary. We have a special faculty called intelligence or inquiry spirit. If it's not utilized, then it's taken away. So, I don't know how to fit this in, so I'm just going to say it. We usually use the word hellish condition or hellish life. So our Vedas describe that hellish life means a life where one doesn't utilize the opportunity to come to know God on a very personal level. Even if the person is very financially well off, academically well off, all that may be there, but still that is considered hellish. And sometimes people use or think that that life is really good. One time a person who died went to the was judged to go to hell. So when this person went to hell, the caretaker of hell asked this person, well, you have three choices. There are three doors. You can choose any of these. And once you choose that, that's where you will be eternally, perpetually. He said, can I check it out first? So they said, oh, no problem, you can check it out. So he opened the first door and he saw three men standing on their heads. And the floor was made of ice, cold ice. He said, no, thank you. Can I check the second door, please? Sure. He saw three more men standing on their head on a stone floor. He said, not so bad. At least it's not ice. He said, can I look at the third room? Yes, sure. And he opened the door. He saw three men kneeling down on a metal floor. And they were sipping coffee. He said, I like this one. I like this one. The other two, I like this. So he said, all right, this is how you're going to be. You're going to be in this room for eternity. He said, oh, great, great. So he went and sat next to three men, knelt down and had his cup of coffee. When his coffee was done, one of the Yamadutas came and said, break time over, stand on your head. So hell, regardless of what condition, how it looks, in the temporary state it might look nice, but ultimately it is suffering. So Prabhupada explains that in this material world, we may experience some happiness. That happiness is also misery. Because that happiness either doesn't satisfy us completely, even if it does, it doesn't stay too much with us. So then one is always looking for opportunities to make one's life better. In fact, Prabhupada described, in the Bhagavatam it is described, that a human being has two purposes: to increase his happiness and to decrease his suffering. This is the only two things people are doing. But how they go about it is what, I guess, separates the men from the boys, if you will. You know, some people do it through philosophical cultivation, through philosophical knowledge. We call this the jnana path. So they develop philosophical perspectives about the world and say, oh, you know, all this worldly pursuits is not something for me. I need to cultivate higher knowledge. Most others follow the lifestyle where they want to accrue more things. The more things I have, the happier I am. And the fewer obstacles I have in enjoying those things, the happier I am. So everybody in this world, in that sense, is an opportunist, is looking for better opportunities. One time there was a call by the director of NASA that said, we would like to send somebody to Mars. The condition is we'd like them to stay there. They cannot come back. We'd like them to report some data, but they need to stay there. Is there anybody who's willing to go? And in return, we'll give you anything you like. So most people didn't apply, except three persons: an American astronaut, a German astronaut, and an Indian politician. So the director of NASA asked the US astronaut, what would you like in return? He said, I would like $1 billion. He said, ah, that's a lot, don't you think? He said, well, you're asking me to go and not return, so I'd like that money to take care of my family. He said, okay, we'll consider your request. Then the German astronaut came. I said, what would you like? He said, I would like $2 billion. I said, double from the other guy. He said, yeah, I would like $1 billion for my family and another $1 billion for all my relatives, because they're all depending on me. I said, oh, very good. We'll think about it. Then the Indian politician came. So they asked him, what would you like? He said, I would like $3 billion. So the director of NASA said, well, hold on a second here. You're not even an astronaut. You don't know anything about space mission or anything. Why do you want $3 billion? He said, it's very simple. $1 billion, I keep. $1 billion, you keep. And the other $1 billion, we'll give it to the U.S. astronaut and send him away. So people look for opportunities in life to make their situation better. But that's not the goal of life. And as long as one is trying to fulfill just these impulses of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, Narada Muni is saying, Na karoti harer nunam kathamrita nidau. That the pastimes of Krishna are like an ocean of nectar. But a person doesn't have any interest. Now, more seriously, in Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami gives us an indication why that is the case. He says, we are all suffering from a disease called jaundice. And it's the jaundice of the consciousness. Because in the jaundice of the liver, the liver that is supposed to break down sugar and help us relish the sweet taste is not happening. The bile becomes, diseased or contaminated, that even if one tastes sugar, it tastes bitter. So everyone else can experience the sweetness of sugar except the person who's jaundiced. They taste it bitter. And the only cure for jaundice is to continue eating sugar. Usually they give sugar cane. the more sugarcane juice or sugarcane that they chew, the liver becomes rectified. So although there is bitterness, that is the medicine. So Rupa Goswami describes like that, the conditioned soul is suffering from jaundice of the consciousness. The jaundice of consciousness is, although the devotional service by nature is very sweet, one has no taste for it. One has no attraction for it. In fact, they look at others and say, what are these people wasting their time like this? Dancing, singing, waving some incense, chanting. It seems one time certain devotees were, there was a new person who was introduced to Krishna consciousness, and he was told that the process of Krishna consciousness is a blissful process. The devotees who chant Krishna's name are always very happy. And so he was invited to the morning program. So he came and observed, he saw the devotees, you know, dancing in Mangala Arati. He said, yeah, it seems like they're happy. And then the devotees sat down for japa. And during japa time, most people are not blissful, you know, it's a struggle, either to keep awake or somehow, you know, we have different facial expressions in our japa just to keep our mind somewhere close in the neighborhood of the holy name, right? So it's like Hare Krishna. Some people do this and that, and you know, they sit like this, stand like that. So this person saw and said, what do you mean they're blissful in chanting Krishna's name? These people are all suffering. So it may look like that, but actually we know that even if it's a struggle, there is a special attraction. We may not have hair standing on end. What's that? Yuga Yitam. No, before that, was that? Was that verse? Sixth verse of Shikshashtaka. Okay, seventh verse. Nayanam Galadashtrudharaya. Thank you. We may not be shedding tears of ecstasy. We are shedding tears, no doubt. But it may not be of ecstasy. Hair must not be standing on end. Our voice may not be choked up thinking of Krishna's name. Yet there is taste, and that is why we keep doing this day in and day out, day after day. There is some taste. There is some attraction. Here the word is used, ratim. Ratim means attachment. There is some attachment. Even if we don't have attachment for the holy name, we have attachment for the persons who are encouraging us to chant the holy name. And those persons are connected to Krishna. So that's our attachment. That's what keeps us going, actually. So that taste comes when one can somehow turn their attention away from this natural, conditional pull or influence of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The process of Krishna consciousness does not ask us to eliminate these influences or tendencies. The process of Krishna consciousness teaches us to bring these into the fold of devotional life. So because there is a tendency to eat, we are encouraged to eat Krishna's prasadam. In fact, we are encouraged to eat only Krishna's prasadam. And because we have a tendency to sleep, we're invited to the Bhagavatam class. I'm joking. We have a tendency to sleep. So Prabhupada designed the day in such a way that 6 or 7 hours, the body takes rest. For those who get into grihastha life and start families, then there is place for procreation. And defending, this is an interesting thing. How do devotees defend? They defend, of course, they have issues with each other. But the real defend is that we are defending or we are protecting the honor of the parampara at all times. We are protecting or defending against blasphemy to the devotees, blasphemy to Krishna, blasphemy to the holy name. That's our defense. So it's said that anything personally directed, we don't defend. Anything directed towards the parampara or Krishna, that is defensible. Everything in Krishna's service. Then there is an awakening of attraction to hearing about Krishna. The sweetest thing in existence is Krishna. Krishna is not a thing. Krishna and Krishna's name, and Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's qualities. That is considered to be the sweetest, as described by all the great personalities. In fact, these personalities are so great that they don't look for anything in this world. They are called Atma Ramas. Yet those Atma Rama personalities, Atma Rama means completely self-satisfied. They're satisfied on the spiritual platform to the degree that they don't aspire for anything in this world. Even such persons are very attracted to Krishna and Krishna's name, Krishna's qualities and pastimes. And those of us, I shouldn't say us, but those are the conditioned souls who don't have the same sense of sweetness have to cultivate it, have to develop it. And Prabhupada is describing that that is developed in the association of devotees. Thinking that if I withdraw myself to some secluded, solitary place and I will cultivate my Krishna consciousness there, then the only thing we are cultivating there is a whole world of illusion. And that illusion will tell us, wow, what a nice devotee you are. See, it is said that you need us, generally you need association, but you don't need association. If anything, you should go give your association to others. You're so amazing. You have somehow become very tolerant. You've somehow become patient. In fact, now you understand Trinadapi Suni Chena. You understand what it means to be more humble than a straw on the street. You have some, you have these qualities. You're good. Now you should go preach and save the world. This is how the mind creates a whole aura of illusion. Therefore, it is important to stay in the association of devotees and cultivate each other's, our own and others' Krishna consciousness. Then the taste for Kathamrita, the nectar of Krishna's pastimes for practicing devotees, sadhakas, is not necessarily the sweetness of how Krishna exchanges with the gopis or how Krishna manifests all these wonderful things with his devotees. That may not be our real pursuit of amrita, nectar. The nectar that we are to extract from Krishna's pastimes are the nectar of feeling sheltered by Krishna, the nectar of assurance that Krishna will always come to protect the sincere devotee, the nectar of how Krishna's devotees are exhibiting wonderful qualities in the midst of serious difficulties, how the devotees are manifesting tolerance and compassion, how the devotees are determined to stay put on the path of devotional service regardless of challenge from friends, relatives, enemies, whoever. They're determined. This is the nectar that we are to extract. And that nectar gives us a very special ratim, attachment. Gives us an attachment to continue on the path of devotional life, regardless of what challenges might come, regardless of what difficulties might arise, regardless of how our mind might tell us, today is not the day for you. You should take the day off. Today, no devotional life for you. You've been working very hard. Regardless of all of that, the determination to stay put. Because one who stays put, Krishna naturally takes them back to him. That's all we have to do. We'll just stay put. Everything else happens by the mercy of Krishna. So those are some thoughts. Any comments, anything someone would like to add? Questions? Any other comments? Yes, Stavira Prabhu.
Had a very interesting poem that he wrote, Vaishnava K.
Right.
And for devotees, this should be required reading for every devotee. Oh, you get the thought, oh, yes, you have learned so much here in the temple, now you can go off into your own. You're totally safe. No. You're not. Always the association of devotees is so necessary. Yes, I'm traveling on Wednesday, but yet, because of your kindness, remember I said I needed to come back every once in a while and charge my battery and take the association of devotees. Take a look at that poem that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati wrote, Vaishnava K. If you haven't read it, get it. It is very, very sweet, and it's to the point. And I was like, this guy knows me better than I know me. Oh, yes, I'm going out. But it's not because of my own accord. It is because my guru has sent me out. But then I know I'm going to need the association of devotees. After all, what is Milwaukee? We've seen what Milwaukee is. Milwaukee's world famous for what?
Miller.
Beer production. Wisconsin has the undubious title of having the most alcoholics per capita of anywhere in the United States. His Holiness Jai Pataka Swami said, we need to change the name of the state from Wisconsin into Isconsin. I told him a couple weeks ago when I saw him, I said, yes, but let's take it a little bit further. Let's just call it Iscon and we'll take the sin right out of there. He loved it. He threw his head back and laughed so hard. I ask for each and every one of your prayers as I travel. I will never forget you. I will be back. I promise it won't be 4 to 5 years before I'm back. You'll probably see me so much you'll go, oh, Stavir is here again. Oh, boy. But thank you again so much, Nityananda Pran, for your kindness, your class today. We have an expression in American.
Home run.
You hit it out of the park. And on a last minute notice. I know how that is. Thank you very much, Haribo.
Thank you, Prabhu. I must say, it's nothing to do with me, it's just because I have a title, but a wonderful family of devotees here in Prabhupada's house. So you're welcome anytime. Anyone else? Yeah, Prabhu? And then Avelo.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Speaking of going out...
You have to put special effort because you're like this...
Haribo!
There you go. That's okay. Good.
Sorry. What about, speaking of going out, one will say, what about Prabhupada's books as association? Is that the equivalent of devotee association?
Yeah, it is. At the same time, we need reciprocal association. Prabhupada's books are what keep us alive. They give us perspective to see the world with. At the same time, we need
warm-bodied devotees to have conversations with, to reveal our mind with. I mean, even if he came to Prabhupada and revealed our mind, he would encourage us to go to another devotee and do it. In the Nectar of Instruction, he said, we have started the International Society of Krishna Consciousness to facilitate the six loving exchanges. He did not say, we started the ISKCON Society so that everyone carries my book and has my association. He didn't say that. His books teach us how to associate with each other. His books teach us how to serve Krishna, how to understand our relationship with Krishna. So yes, they give us, they give us association with Prabhupada. But that doesn't mean we don't need association of other devotees. We need association of Prabhupada, we need association of other devotees as well. Is that all right? Yeah. Avelo, and then Acharya Nishtha.
Hare Krishna. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about how one gets over weakness of the heart. For example, let's say one has time. One can use that time to hear about Krishna or open up the laptop and do whatever the person wants. How does one get over, even though knowing, hearing so many lectures, knowing that time should be utilized as much as possible?
The heart becomes strong on the basis of a relationship with the Vaishnava. Very specifically, it's a relationship with Guru. That is the basis for which the heart becomes strong. Otherwise, everybody knows what needs to be done. And the person who can do what is to be done and not do what does not need to be done is on that, on the basis of that relationship or relationships. So one who has a vibrant relationship with Guru, the heart is strong. One is naturally guided to doing the do's and not doing the don'ts. It's just, that becomes their nature. For a person whose heart's not connected like that, then despite all this, all the wonderful messages, we're like the duck in water, never get wet. Nothing touches us, or we're the best non-stick man. The only use we have is to fry others out. But that's our connection. We need, that's what makes the heart strong. There are other things, but for now this.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Bol.
You mentioned in the beginning of the class our eternal constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. So
correct.
I was curious, and how in the contaminated state it's more or less covered, our attraction goes toward Maya. So the desire to be fixed or reinstated in that position, I'm trying to identify if that desire is pure in the sense that it may be influenced by a desire for our own well-being.
Correct.
But ultimately it seems that that's a beneficial desire one should have, to be situated in a fixed position of service.
The desire for well-being is there in the soul. Nate vidu svarthagatim hi Vishnu. Prahlad Maharaj says that the real svarthagati, self-interest, is to be in relationship with Vishnu. But we also have other desires for our well-being. The question is, who's the I that's desiring? And that will determine if that desire is pure or not. If the I who's desiring is a brahmachari or a grahastha or an American man or woman or whatever, then that I, because that sense of I itself is not real, Plus there is the desire to serve Krishna, then that supposedly mixed. So it's important that we cultivate, and this is not easy, but that's what we're supposed to cultivate, is to understanding who's the I that is desiring. In any circumstance, who's the I? Any situation happens, someone says something, and I get all this because I'm the temple president, then that's material. But if the I is, I'm a servant of Krishna, like yesterday's lecture, Prabhupada was talking, Svanushtithasya pum dharmasya. Svanushtitha means one who's fixed in his dharma. Such a person pleases Vishnu. Samsiddhir haritoshanam. He attains all perfection to please Vishnu. So that the I is, if he's a servant of Krishna, then whatever he or she does or thinks is for Krishna. If the sense of I is something other than that, then it's mixed. And to the degree one identifies with that false I, to that degree it's mixed. So in any situation, although we may be thinking, I'm a servant of Krishna, I'm a servant of Krishna, at the right moment something happens, immediately our false ego is activated. And then we consider ourselves something other than servant of Krishna, because that's the conditioned nature. You know that story about a king who had a visitor? And that visitor was eloquent in many languages. And he came to the king and challenged, I'm so eloquent in all languages, so proficient, that I challenge anyone in your court to identify what is my real native tongue. No? What's my real, where have I actually come from? And so different people tried to ask him different languages, and he was such an expert, no accent anywhere, nothing. Except one of the ministers, he said, tomorrow I will tell you what your native tongue is. He said, oh, all right. So he was given a very nice place to rest, special quarters. And the minister invited one of the, called one of the servants and told him, at the dead of night, about 1 a.m. or so, take a bucket of cold water and splash it on this man. And you tell me what he says. The servant says, yes. And something the guy yelled. Next morning, the minister in front of the king said, your honor, this man speaks Telugu. So he was astonished. How do you know? How do you know that's where, you know, that's, he said, last night when we threw cold water, you yelled out some expletives. You cursed in your native tongue. Because that's where the conditioned nature is. We may do anything else, but deep down some conditioned nature exists. And it's that at that moment. So it's the who's the I that's desiring. That's important.
So if the proper conception of I is there, you know, hypothetically.
Correct.
Then that desire is natural.
That's correct.
That we want to be situated properly.
Correct.
And that should be cultivated. That
should be cultivated.
Desire.
Sure. Sure. Because as the sense of I matures, it will mature from I need to be situated properly to I need to serve Krishna properly. King Chitraketu, I've been reading Chitraketu's situation. Parvati Devi cursed him. And Lord Shiva responds, Narayana Parayana Nakutasana Bibhati Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu. It doesn't matter. A devotee who is a Narayana Parayana does not consider his situation as good or bad. He's just serving Krishna. At our stage, whatever that stage is, that purity of who I am is that I need to be fixed. And that's good. That's in the right direction. And Krishna encourages that. So that's the difference between Krishna as an encouraging, loving father versus anyone else. There was a parent who was teaching his child, and the father was teaching math to the child and said, "How much is 8 times 9? And the child said, 62. The father said, "Oh, how nice. Here is a little candy, gift for you." So a person sitting next to the father said, "Hold on a minute. 8 times 9 is not 62. It is 72. Why did you tell him, why did you encourage him?" So the father said, "Well, yesterday he said it was 52. So he's getting closer to the real number. So I'm just encouraging. When he comes to the real answer, I will tell him, you're right. It's in the right direction in that sense." So Krishna encourages. I heard all this Saturday night, so they're all fresh in my brain. I'm sharing them out. Anything else? Yeah. Final, and then we'll stop.
Just on that last point, Prabhu, what if the mind tricks you into thinking you're doing something in the name of being a devotee?
Can you give me a little hint into how the mind might trick? Of course, the mind is always a trickster. That was the verse he was quoting. Dushtaman, tumi kaise ra Vaishnav? What kind of Vaishnav are you, you stupid mind?
Well, what if a devotee thinks that, what if one is thinking that I should be able to cut in front of the line or tell this fib or, take this extra prasadam because it's good for my service, or I should, this is good for,
correct.
You know what I mean?
So, whatever is the inspiration, our teaching is always to check with devotees. Always. Always, always, always. One sure short method to never go wrong is to check with another devotee. Is to always consult. Lord Ramachandra, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always checked with his advisors. What do you think I should do? Including Lord Krishna, the Purna Purushottam Purusha, like a complete manifestation of all perfection. When he had to do something, he would ask Uddhava, "Uddhava, what do you think I should do?" It's not because Krishna doesn't know, it's a very special asset to consult with another devotee. Always. Always, always. And though our mind might trick us, the devotee will definitely say, "Don't be nonsense. This is not okay." Or whatever they say. They may say it nicely. "Prabhu." Yeah? Always. Always check with another devotee. And in the beginning, it might look like we're checking for every silly thing. Even that's okay. Some point, Krishna will give us some maturity to say, "Come on, you know. The 12th gulab jamun is a little too much for you." Okay, thank you very much for your patience and tolerance. Today you have demonstrated tarorapi sahishnuna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. understood.
Legs don't sleep.